forgot to turn my mic on. Yeah, you can hear me this week. Now, I'm not going to lie, there might be moments where I'm not real loud, and then all of a sudden it just goes way up here. I'm not yelling at you. It's just the way the voice is working right now. But praise God, it's good to be able to talk again. Oh, praise God. I tell you what, folks, as she was talking about with seasons changing, seasons go, they come and they go. You know, we can sit around and we can mope all boo-hoo-hoo, or we can just say, you know what, it's that season. We're going to get in. I ain't going to lie. I worked until 8:45 last night in the yard. I had a ball. I rolled the yard twice, mowed it twice, swept it twice, just because we couldn't get all the leaves off last year. And I had leaves bedded and killing my grass. So, but I tell you what, my strawberry patch is cleaned out and getting ready. But praise God for the seasons. Because you know what? I know this is going to sound cruel and cold, but you'd never know what a joyous time was if you didn't go through a little strenuous time. I know it sounds like a sick, twisted theology, but it is the truth. You'd never know what a hard time was. You wouldn't know how good you had it until you went somewhere where you didn't have it. And, you know, and in this country, we do have certain freedoms and certain liberties. And as a child, I was never made aware of them until I went somewhere where you didn't have them. You know, we gripe and complain about the health department and, well, our sewage, this, and this. Well, you go to a country where the sewage is underneath the sidewalk and it's open. And when it floods, the sewage comes out in the streets and covers the sidewalks. You'd be grateful for those things that you have that are just kind of a pain in your butt. But praise God. Well, we got a few things to do today. But don't forget, today is War on the Floor. We're going to pray. We got things to pray about. This country, obviously. A lot of things to be praying for and about this week or this month as well. But we've also got a guest speaker who's going to come talk to us about heartbeat, and so we're going to have that. So let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for a glorious day. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. Father, your mercies make every day a glorious day. Father, no matter what the weather is outside, we rejoice in the fact that you are a merciful and loving God. Father, I bless the tithe and offering this morning and receive it on your behalf. Bless the gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated this morning, and should we go ahead and let the kids go? Kids go. Okay. Kids, just hold tight. Sorry about that. I know everybody gets kind of on autopilot and gets rolling. If we could go ahead and bring up this first row of lights. Okay, so, as I just said, we're going to have a guest speaker come in, and so, without further ado, Miss Sally Walker, if you'd come up here and tell us a little bit about what you got going on.
Sure.
Okay? Wherever do you need a microphone? They put all the microphones away.
I don't know. Can everyone hear me this morning?
All right.
I think I'm all right.
Okay.
By churches, individuals,
led to do that, or when a client is asking for prayer or different concerns, where we can step in and allow the Holy Spirit to work through us and touch each client with each need that can come through the door. We are supported through our Walk for Life, through monthly sponsorship or quarterly, yearly sometimes. We are supported by churches doing baby bottle campaigns, which are going to do for us today. Just simply take a baby bottle. I know you guys have done this in the past, and I like to joke that I really like ice cream. Well, a lot of times in the summer, McDonald's will make their ice cream cone on sale, maybe 50, 75 cents. So if I go with my dollar, I get to have the ice cream, the baby bottle gets to have the change. It's a win-win for everybody. So if you find what you like, you can fill your baby bottle, and I just joke about that. But I do eat too much ice cream. That's a different sermon topic for addiction. No. I'm sorry. I will refocus to our Walk for Life is coming up, and it is going to be held on, I lost the date. It's right in front of me. May 11th this year, and I do have some sign-up sheets with me. Our Walk for Life is always held on the Saturday before Mother's Day, and so as we gather together to walk for support, we will start at our Baker Street address, and we will walk around and make the loop through Baker, or around to Lee Street and back to Baker. So maybe just like 2 miles, a little over, and so we gather together. We have great fellowship. We enjoy having everyone come at 8:30 for registration. We have some donuts and juice and milk available, water, and we have a nice time of fellowship before we walk. We like to have a prayer time, and then after our walk, you know, everybody comes in at various times, and the snacks and drinks are still there if anyone needs those. So we included last year, we included a church challenge, and we challenged the churches to come and attend and do the Walk for Life. And whoever had the most walkers that day attending the walk would receive something for their church. So it was fun to give Johnsville Mennonite Church several dozen donuts for their church for a Sunday morning service. So that was exciting. Well, this year we decided that we would change that a little bit and have it a team challenge. So we kind of opened that up to 4-H clubs or Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, different groups like that who might want to come and be a part of Heartbeat in our Walk for Life. So we are going to be excited to be expecting a large crowd to come and gather, and it'll be fun to then, again, bless the group that has come with the most walkers with whatever we're thinking, either pizza or donuts, depending on the group. So we're excited to look forward to that. Last year, our Walk for Life, we were able to collect $6,562. So thank you very much for anyone who participated or supported someone who did for the Walk for Life. We are very grateful for that. Through the baby bottles last year, we were able to collect just $3 shy of $6,000. So that change does not seem like much, but when we all work together for a common cause, we can do great things.
Amen.
And I believe that working through Heartbeat is a great thing, because it tells us in Ephesians 2:10 that we are God's workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, works that God prepared in advance for us to do. And I believe taking care of unborn children and families and widows and orphans, all of those things are jobs that we need to do here on earth. And so I'm grateful to be a part of Heartbeat and to be able to come and tell you great things that are going on there and how our clients come in and have fellowship and communication with us, maybe not knowing that that was going to happen when they came through our doors. We do have a client currently who her children are kind of older than our clothing or anything, but she still continues to come back to get that support and to have us pray with her and to encourage her in her life. So we are making great bonds with people who live in our community, and so I just want to, again, thank you for your support. I want to let you know that through your support, we were able to help with 274 visits to our Heartbeat Boutique, so that's where they can come and get their clothes and diapers and wipes and different things like that. Thank you very much. We were able to help our clients with 345 packages of diapers, 94 packages of wipes, 1,750 outfits. We were able to help them with 154 shoes or boots, 151 hats. I could go on and on of the great things that are happening there and how we're helping families to be able to clothe and take care of their children. So I have clipboards with me today. If anyone is interested, I'll pass those around. And if you would like to put your information on there and circle what you would be interested in, It's also broken down to quarterly or yearly sponsor, if that would better suit you. Also, you can be a volunteer or just in any way, if you have donations of clothes because your children have grown, we are so grateful for all of those donations and help that we get. And most importantly, before I go, I have two things, actually. So we have,
our
paving project that we're going to be doing this year. The pavement was not taken care of properly for a couple of years, and so it's going to take us about $13,000 to be able to complete that project. I am super excited to tell you that as of last month, we were halfway to our goal. And so if that's something that you would like to help out with, or you want to participate or help in any way to help us reach our goal, and obviously our Walk for Life will be part of that, please help us to do that. Also, again, just the Walk for Life, I have papers with me today. If you would like to take any of those to get started, to have people support you, that would be wonderful. So here's my most important thing. If you do not have the funds and your bank account won't allow you to support us with monetary donation, that's fine. If your children are way past age of donating what clothes you might have had left, that's fine. If you can't walk or support someone who does the walk, that's fine. But you know what? We all have the power to pray. And I believe that prayer is so powerful. So if you would pray for Heartbeat and continue to keep us in your prayer life, we would really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Thank you for coming. So, I know there's probably not many questions as this is not our first rodeo, but I will throw this challenge out there. There's a box of baby bottles back here. Everybody take at least one, and if you can take two, here's your challenge. Fill one of them up with quarters. Nothing but quarters. Okay? I know it seems like, well, you can get more dimes in the thing, but it takes 10 dimes to make that dollar, and it takes four quarters. So there's your challenge. But I'd like to see all of them gone and all of them back in, and I think we're going to collect them on Mother's Day. So there's your goal. Well, take one, and everybody's got some change. Nobody walks around with pocketfuls of change anymore. You take it home. I've got three or four things. I go in, I'm like, man, I bet I got $5 in quarters sitting in there. And then never mind what's in my truck and what gets cleaned out of my truck and thrown in my garage. So we've all got change. We've all got stuff we can part with in that. So there's your challenge. So at this juncture, I am going to dismiss the junior church because the little guys back there are getting anxious. And since the most vocal is my own grandson, we will... Praise God. Well, you know, I actually did not plan this out this way. You know, we've been talking about living a godly life and a life that you can run the race, as Paul put it, to win. You run a race, you run it according to the rules. I watched an old TV show the other day called According to Jim Belushi. And he had, was trying to be a role model for his son about not quitting and about completing something. And he had got roped into this, I believe it was just a 5K race. Or it might have been a 10K, I don't know, remember. But anyhow, they had it all figured out on how he could cut the corners and come around and finish the race and look good to his kid. Well, he ended up in a nail salon, got his nails done, fell asleep, took off running when he realized that he had fallen asleep, and when he came around the corner, he did not realize that he had outran world-class athletes and won the race. And even they knew he cheated. Everybody that knew him knew he had to have cheated. And so he ended up eventually going back and running the race, but nonetheless, he did not run the race according to the rules, and people weren't really wanting to call him a cheater unless they were just face-to-face with him. And they said, he said, "How did you know I cheated?" And they said, "Because you won." But the Bible tells us to run the race according to the way that we will win the prize. And so we've been looking at the Ten Commandments for the last several weeks. And this week, the commandment we're going to look at, go to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. It's a real short one. "Thou shalt not murder," or in this one, "you shall not murder." I don't know about you, but I was always brought up with the translations, "Thou shalt not kill," which is a totally inappropriate translation, because the proper translation of the Hebrew is murder. That means the taking of an innocent life. That does not involve law enforcement, that does not involve the government intervention, does not involve military. Okay? It's talking about you plotting to take the life of an innocent. That is why we call abortion murder, the killing of an innocent life. And I know there's been some people got a little butt hurt because several weeks ago I said, if you think it's okay to kill a baby, there's a door, don't come back. I stand by that. The Word of God stands by that. If you think it's okay to kill a baby, you have absolutely no idea what the gospel of Jesus Christ is about. You have no idea what God is about. I don't care about being the most popular. Boy, you talk about me all you want. People will know where I stand. We do not stand for abortion. We do not stand for senseless killing of anybody. The genocides that are going on overseas right now, genocides that are going on in this country, it's not cool. But the translation is, "You shall not murder." Well, there's people, "Pastor, I just don't believe we should have the capital punishment. We don't need the death penalty." Well, let's see. God created the death penalty. Did you know that? You kill somebody, God said your life is required. This is where we get the eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You kill somebody, your life is required. Now, it's not talking about in an accident. It meant you set out to kill somebody. You break into somebody's house, you kill them. The law at one point used to stand with the person who was killed. Today, though, and I'm not for certain if the castle defense or stand your ground is fully in effect, but there was a time that if you stood your ground inside your own home and you killed somebody, you were held for murder. That is a crock of garbage. That's all I got to say. You break into my house and try to harm my family, I'm going to hurt you at least. And as I've said before, I may be biting your ankles. Depends on how big the guy is. I don't know. If I don't get you, my dog will. So, but it's not talking about defending your family. It's talking about you going out and breaking in, or you kill somebody. God talked a lot about things about how we deal with each other. And this was one of them. You shall not murder. So we know, because God originated the whole death penalty, he even gave a little mercy. Did you know that? Sanctuary cities is not a new thing. That was God's idea. But here was the rules. It had a stiff requirement. If you were caught outside the gates of that city, you could be put to death. That's all there was to it. You were marked as a murderer. Remember Cain? Cain killed Abel, and he was then marked. We don't know what mark it was. We don't know that it was a birthmark. Everybody comes, somebody gets a birthmark on their face. Oh, they're marked with the mark of Cain. Oh, you superstitious ninny. It's a stinking birthmark. It's all it is. But they were marked, and they could be killed. But in God's case, God marked Cain that nobody could kill him. I don't know why. God does. I'm not going to question it. There was a reason. How about military? Everybody jumps in, all jumped in, killing babies, all baby killers. Honestly, no. Let me tell you something about the military. It's one area I can talk about. People who have to fight and have to kill in the military do not do it because they hate people, for starters. They don't hate, they didn't hate the Viet Cong. They didn't hate communists. They don't hate the Taliban. And if they got to where it was a case of I'm killing because I hate, they were the ones, they're the ones who develop problems. Because I've told you before, we taught this message several years ago, we were not built with the capacity to control hate. We cannot do it. We hate somebody, we will continue to hate, and we will just build. It's no different if you're black, white, oriental, or Asian, I guess is the proper term. None of that matters. You can be purple, okay? Well, I hate all purple people. Why? Well, they're just untrustworthy. I've been messed over by more white people than I ever was black people. Just sorry, but that's the way it is. Most of them are family. I got a side of family I don't even talk to anymore. And it's not because I hate them. It's because, you know, you can only reach around and pull that knife out of your back so many times, and they're not willing to change right now. I pray for them. I pray that they change. But listen, I've told you before, you get bit by a dog once, next time be careful. And they keep biting you, stay away from the dog. Pray for them. That's all there is to that. I know some people don't agree with me, and that's fine. You keep getting bit. Well, I just can't take it anymore. I've told you, quit going and getting bit. I've had several clients over the years that had dogs that bit me. I told them, and they laughed. They thought it was funny that their dog bit me. I said, well, here's how the deal is going to go. Either the dog's locked up, or if you come home and the dog's got a hammer buried in its head, you know the dog bit me again. It was amazing. The dogs got locked up. Go figure. That's all you had to do. But, well, Pastor, it just sounds like you wanted to kill something. I didn't want to kill nothing. I still don't want to kill. When I got out of boot camp, my mom asked me, she said, do you think you could kill somebody? Back then, I said, you know, they can't make me kill anybody. And they can't. Marines couldn't make me kill anybody. However, on August 2nd, 1990, something changed in me. And it wasn't the fact that I wanted to go kill people. It was now the fact that my country was going to war. And it was the fact that if somebody was going to try to kill my fellow Marine, it was my job to try to kill them. And it wasn't because I hated Iraqis. It was because I loved my brothers and my sisters more. See, love has to trump hate. In this country, we're going to have to finally get it through our heads that love has got to trump hate. Here's the thing with abortion. The people love their own lives more than they love the baby. I'm not willing to walk away from my sinful lifestyle. So that's why they keep doing it. We'll just go get an abortion. I'll keep sleeping around. Anybody ever figured out pregnancy is not caused by drinking water? I mean, we know it's a funny joke, but that ain't what does it. Somebody asked us in North Carolina, said, when are you guys going to have kids? I mean, we were still, 2 years into marriage. I'm like, and I was not going to have any kids while I was on active duty. And we said, oh, we're practicing. The woman had 4 or 5 kids of her own. She said, oh, honey, practice makes babies. Okay, I'll take your word for it. You can vouch for that. But you see, when we love ourselves more than we love our neighbors, we have a problem. When we love ourselves more than we love those around us, there's a problem. Now, the Bible tells me I am supposed to love myself. We need to understand that first off. Not to think more highly, right? That boils down to loving yourself. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. Now, the reason that people can give up their lives, that they can sacrifice their life, is because they think great of themselves. I've told you before, Marines are noted for one thing: the few, the proud. How many really prideful people will give up their life? Stop and think about it. Truly prideful, arrogant people will not give up their seat, let alone their life, for you. Now, this goes across all the branches that are willing, people that are willing to do it. I think, honestly, anybody that joins the military and then decides to call a conscientious objector after the fact, come on. You knew what you were getting into. Now, during World War II, there were people that were drafted that they didn't want to. They didn't want to kill. Doc Bradley was one of them from the Iwo Jima Memorial. He's the one, you can see his profile. He joined the Navy so he wouldn't get stuck serving with the Marines, and he didn't want to kill people. Guess where he got stuck with? Serving with Marines. But many of the guy that squatted down to planting the flag, he was actually a Jehovah's Witness. They don't believe in serving in the military. But he did. Hacksaw Ridge. I can't remember the name of the guy, but he was a conscientious objector. He said, I will not carry a weapon, but I will go in. And he saved more people than the guys that retreated. So, love is what we have to focus on here. It's not that I don't... How's the one to put this? We cannot look at people and want to hurt them just because they're different. Okay? Now, there's a lot of Islam that is totally wrong, but the ones that are attacking, the radical Islamists, they want to kill us just because... Somebody told them they're going to get 72 virgins, which, by the way, was totally made up by Osama. That's the hilarious part. These guys come along, you're going to get 72 virgins. Big whoop-de-ding-dong. I'm dead. They've got a perversion going on in their head. Human life doesn't mean anything. The end result is what people look at. It's not the goal or the purpose of the church to ever start a fight, to start a war. The whole holy wars back in the medieval ages, that was a crock too. Should never have happened. It was propagated by the church. It raised billions, if not trillions, of dollars. How many people lost their lives for that fact? Well, we were defending the Holy Land. Did God really need you to defend the Holy Land? That's what I tell people. I got to protect my kids. Listen, I've put my kids out. I let my kids go and do things. I let my kids have a life. Well, you can't protect them. If God can't protect my kids, how am I going to? And you can ask my wife. Most of the time, I'm looking around people, and it may be a little ADD, I don't know. Not been diagnosed. Not going to find out. I always used to tell her, I said, "Baby, I'm sorry, I just can't hear you. Like, you know, must have some hearing loss." Well, that went out the window when they checked my hearing. It's perfect, except the ringing. And, but anyhow, I'm looking around. I pay attention to who is sitting around, where they're at, what they're doing. I pay attention to my neighbors. Well, you're a nosy neighbor. Well, my neighbor across the road didn't seem to think so when 11:30 one night I saw headlights going through his house. Praise God, it was him. I texted his son and said, "Hey, who's at your mom and dad's?" He said, "Oh, they just got home." The next year, he asked me to watch his house. I don't like nosy neighbors. I like people that pay attention to what's going on around them. Not because they want to be nosy, but because they appreciate that I'm there. I like knowing who my neighbors are. I don't hang out with my neighbors. But I like knowing who they are. I pay attention to what they're doing, their habits. If I see lights in their house when they're not supposed to be home, I'm going to call. Call them. If it's not them, the next call is the 911. We have to love our neighbor as ourself. That's all there is to it. We can't say, well, listen, you ain't going to get along with every neighbor. Okay? That's just all there is to it. If you've been around for half a heartbeat, you know you ain't going to get along with everybody. And if you're one of those people that just drives you nuts that you can't get along with everybody, get over yourself. Did that help you? I had a guy in high school. I have no idea why he didn't like me. He was a lot bigger than me, too. I don't know what I did to him. I think I do know what happened, but it wasn't my fault that his girlfriend liked me. I didn't feel the same towards her, but he hated me. Don't know why. Finally, I got over it. For several years, I would have a periodic dream of him in my dreams. And I just started praying for him. I didn't hate him. Now, like I said, we didn't get along just because that's the only thing I can think of. But several years ago, he committed suicide. We have to get past ourselves and what we think about other people. Pray for him. Bible tells us to pray for those who spitefully use us, not go out and kill them, not go out and hurt them. That doesn't mean you got to lay down on the ground and say, okay, you can trample on me, use me as a doormat, kill me. That's nowhere did God say that. He said, turn the other cheek when you're insulted. If you do understand anything, that's what he was referring to. We don't do that here. But Bugs Bunny was one that made it clear to us what he was talking about. Anybody ever notice Bugs Bunny could pull off his white mittens and he would slap Daffy? That's what he's talking about. It was an insult, but it's not an insult that came into, it was in our country. It's from other places. Remember when the guy in, I don't remember what country it was now, took off a shoe and threw it at President Bush? Y'all remember that? George W.? Took off his shoe, it was one of the Middle Eastern companies, took off his shoe and threw it at our president. It was an insult. He wasn't trying to hurt him, he was insulting him. Okay, now you don't do that to our president, but I'm sure Secret Service had fun with him. But nonetheless, he wasn't trying to kill our president, he was insulting our president, which in a long way was insulting us. I'm sure he won't do it again. But we have to pray for those who spitefully use us. Not kill them. Not wish them dead. Oh, if you were just dead. No. We can't be doing that. If we just kill them all, let God sort them out. I used to have that mentality. I've told you. Just kill them all, let God sort. Lord, just blow the planet up and sort us out now. That's not what God put us here for, people. By the way, he didn't put you here to be a martyr. There will be Christians martyred. He said, I want you to live. I have come that you may have life. And more abundantly. Not I've come so that you may be killed. He said, there's some of you who will be. But he wants us to live. But how many people I know, oh, if I could just die for Christ, that would be just so romantic. Did you fall down and hit your head? He didn't ask you to die for him. There was only one death required, and that was his. That was it. So when we say stupid things like that, we don't value the life he gave us. We don't value the life that he died to give us. By the way, it's a lot harder to die than you'd think. Everything in you wants to live. These two guys here, they got combat ribbons. They didn't want to go die. They wanted to live. But yet they went. Why? Because they loved what was back here more than their own life. I mean, I know Pat had to sign a waiver. He was F4. He didn't even have to go. But I've heard preachers, oh, it's so easy to just lay down your life. Hogwash. Until you've had to put yourself in those shoes. That was something that happened to me on August 2nd, 1990. Because I'd grown up with people, wishy-washy, spineless people in my life who stand for absolutely nothing but the changing of the wind and how they feel. Okay? That was my influence in life. Some of them were pacifists, so if that helps you out any. I am not a pacifist, just so you know. Has anybody ever had a doubt that I'm a pacifist? Okay. And we'll just get that out of there. But I don't go looking for fights. I'll be the first one to break it up. But as I've told you before, nobody's going to come through here shooting. That's all there is to it. We need to understand that we have to love our neighbors. That's why people can say, I would die. That's why it's so hard for these teams, especially these elite teams, when they get together, these guys are friends for life. Because they have seen and done things and bailed each other out so many times, they are closer than brothers. Romans, chapter 13, go to verse 8. Oh, by the way, I got to share a little testimony. You know, last week I said I lost my glasses. I've been going for nearly 2 weeks without my regular glasses. The one pair that's close to the right prescription, the lens kept popping out. I mean, I'd be walking along and boop. Okay, where's my lens at? And I had an idea where it was at. I thought I lost it. It slid out of my pocket in the barn and was in one of my boxes or a bucket of tools, which was not going to be a good case for me. Yesterday, I was back in my trailer, my enclosed trailer up. I ran over the little 4x4 that I usually set underneath the jack and because I moved everything. And went around, was getting the 4x4 to put underneath the jack to keep it out of the mud. And I looked down, and right beside that 4x4 were my glasses. Now, mind you, I just ran over them. Just muddy. Picked them up, we washed them. Praise God, I got my good glasses again. Because I got glasses in the office that are kind of tweaked. And I got, it's not fun. Anyhow, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Stop right there. He says, owe no one anything but to love them. Let me put it this way. Okay, yes, you can use that for debt cancellation. Okay, don't owe anybody anything. That's great. We're not. Bible rarely talks really about getting deep into your finances. Owe nobody anything. Anything. I want to love them. When you owe somebody anything, if you owe them a favor, if they do something, they say, you owe me nothing, take it for that. You do not owe them. They released you. Oh, but I owe them. No, that's your pride saying you owe them. They gave you something for nothing. Receive it. God will bless them. Okay? Now, you fulfilled the law if you love one another. Next. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, this Paul's talking, don't you know Paul knew these? Paul knew all the commandments. And he said, and if there is any more that somebody has made up, whoops, go back. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Notice Paul threw, you shall not murder, commit adultery, lie, steal, covet. Now, we've talked about those things. We haven't got the stealing yet. But we've talked about all those others. They're all summed up in loving other people. You know, I don't take it kindly to somebody stealing from me, but if you really need it, ask me. I just might give it to you. You see, here's, well, we're now getting into stealing. Not today. But murdering. You shall not murder. Next. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Who is my neighbor? Who are you around right now? Who are you around when you're at home? Who are you around when you're at the store? Yeah. It's whoever is around you right then. You're walking down the street. Now, just give you a little heads up. Those of you who like to play chicken and stupid things with big trucks, you're going to lose. Right, Richard? They don't stop on a dime. Be courteous. Love them enough to give them the right of way. Well, I've got the right of way. Give it up. You're going to lose the battle. Trust me. You may win a court case, but you may not be around to win it. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. If we focus solely on loving other people, folks, you're not going to want to kill people. You really aren't. There are people that we call mentally deranged that do things. Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy. If we will address real problems for what they are, possessed. Well, there's no such thing as demons. I don't believe in demons. Oh, well, it's so good to live in your little la-la land. Why do you think people hate? You can, if I can get anything through you today, right now, is quit hating anybody or anything. Well, I hate strawberries. It just a foothold is all hate needs. You may not like strawberries. I got one kid that doesn't. I think he's strange. But he doesn't. So guess who gets to pick the strawberries? I eat more than I pick, so... If we allow one little bit of hatred towards a person or towards anything, well, I hate Ford, I hate Dodge, I hate Chevy. Oh, get over yourself. They're all junk. You think I'm kidding? They're plastic. They're lightweight aluminum. And they cost a ton of money for what they are. But we got to have them. That's all there is to it. When you're a pickup man, you got to have a pickup. But you can't allow any room for hate of anything in your life. When you allow that hatred, I hate that kind of music. I'm not fond of rap. And let me tell you what, folks. God has sometimes a distorted sense of humor. I mean, he didn't give Brooke and Clint the flu last week. Not by any means. But I ended up going to a Toby Mac concert. Okay? Those of you who don't know who Toby Mac is, DC Talk, for you old timers that have been around long enough to know who DC Talk is. But he is definitely very much hip hop and rap. From 7 o'clock until about 10:30 that night. Now, by the way, Brooke, those seats, I know you didn't know about that stage in the middle, but holy moly. They had a stage in the middle, and we were from me to Maggie from that stage. They were right there. And it's like, and we were on the floor. I'm not a big bass guy. You know, I'm not one of those kids that was driving around boom, boom, boom. I was the guy that had the screaming guitars. My chest, it was throwing my breathing off. I'm like, okay. Am I really too old? You know, they always say, if it's too loud, you're too old. I think I found out where I'm too old. Like, can we turn the bass down just a bit? My heart is going out of rhythm right now. It's not my favorite, but I went. Why? It had nothing to do with my love for Toby Mac and the other guys that were, I mean, there was like six other people. Jeremy Camp, I really enjoyed. He was there. First guy was straight on rap. I'm like, okay, you lost me. But the kid, you know, the boys, of course, when you're sitting there and you got three boys and they all got cowboy boots, Wranglers, and, you know, they might be a little bit out of place with the kids with their flat bills turned sideways and stuff. But I did it not because I like the music, not because I hate it. I did it because I love my wife. And trust me, we tried to get somebody else. But alas, it was not to be. But I have to say this, it was a good concert. Awesome. Yes, it really was. My last concert, I was in the mosh pit and came out with a concussion, just so you know. So I haven't been a real big fan of concerts since then. Unless I can sit in an easy chair and watch from a distance. So when it comes to murder boils down to, it's a lack of love. The last five commandments of the Bible actually are dealing with a lack of love of from us to people. The first are dealing with a lack of love from us to God. Jesus said, you know, a lawyer, I found that kind of funny in the New King James. It says, a lawyer asked Jesus this question. Which is the greatest commandment? Isn't it funny? A lawyer trying to trip up the Messiah. And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, and soul, with all your strength. Deuteronomy 16, I believe, verse 5. And he said, but there's a second one like it. Leviticus 19, 18. You shall not seek vengeance on your neighbor. Well, you know what my neighbor did. His dog pooped in my yard. I'm going to spray his plants with Roundup. Yeah. How many of you know sometimes you can't control where your dog's going? Now, if you're a good neighbor, you see your dog goes over in the neighbor's yard, go over and scoop it. If it's your yard, you know, not everybody can be blessed to have a good dog like mine. My dog goes to the weeds, backs up into the weeds, does his business so we don't have to see it, and then he comes out. But downside is you got to keep your grass mowed. If it's tall grass, it's fair game. Just telling you, he has blessed me a few times. But it's all about a lack of love. When we murder, it's a lack of love. People love themselves. Why do you think these terrorists are doing what they do? They've been told that if they will carry out this suicide mission, if they'll kill all these Americans or these Christians, that they will receive a reward in heaven. By the way, God never promised us anything for killing people. I don't know why there's some people just so anxious to go in and fight and kill. You know, one of the things I remember hearing as a kid, anytime there was an altercation, I'd hear, send in the Marines. So that's what I started shouting. Then one day, it hit me. I am a Marine. Why are you people picking fights? Do you know what the life expectancy of a Marine storming a beach is today? Y'all see that? 3 seconds. That's how much firepower is out there now. 3 seconds if it's an active fight. And I'm out there sending the Marines. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Back this truck up just a little bit. Why are we going? Well, they hate us. And we can't kill them just because they hate us. It's like locking somebody up because they're creepy. Can't do it. If you love them, you'll do everything to keep from killing them. And people, listen, you need to understand, to kill, you have to get into a total mindset. That's why a lot of guys coming back who have dealt with, not only are they dealing with fear that they've had to live under for their entire tour, they're dealing with having to kill another human being. To knowingly do it. I mean, you're standing there shooting. You have to get into a whole new mindset. And some of these guys cannot come out of it. I personally think when we keep extending these wars and keep sending guys back for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think my brother has 3 or 4 tours. And let me tell you what, there's something wrong when we can't just end a fight lickety-split. Let me tell you the first thing here, I'm gonna wrap up here. This has nothing to do with loving, but I'll tell you right now, in the end it will. You want to stop wars? Stop profiteering. I understand they got to make a little bit of money and they got to develop a jet, but you cannot convince me that a missile costs $100,000 or $1 million. I don't care what Tony Stark's got. It ain't worth what they're saying. People are profiteering. Generals receive kickbacks. Congressmen receive kickbacks. You outlaw that, and you'll see war come to a screeching halt. Because war is ultimately about money. Not kidding. These guys will vouch for it. A Hummer costs $35,000, brand new. Blow them up. We don't care. We'll make more. The only thing you can't make more of as quick are human beings. And that's what ends up dying. They said, I'll stand and fight. I want to know why we're fighting. There's a lot of things I don't think we've been told. And I don't need to get into that because you start getting on a slippery slope of conspiracy theories. But I will tell you, and these guys can probably vouch for the same things, there's a lot of stuff you don't know that we do. So, you ever served in the military, you know what got told is not what happened. Training accident.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there was that kind of training going on. It was a mission. The Bible tells us to pray for our government. Because I'll be honest, you know, we want change in our government, right? We want to drain the swamp. There's only one way to drain a swamp. You got to go in, you got to dig, you got to blow big holes, you got to get that water out of there. You got to create damage first. What does that do if we do what has to be done? That divide, you think the Civil War was bad? We can't do that. We can't do what really needs to be done to drain the swamp. But there's one thing we can do, and that's pray. What God can do with our prayers. That's one thing the church is called to do. We can pray. You know what? We got people working to get these laws up for anti-abortion. They get them up there. A governor whacks them down. The Supreme Court sends it away. I'm going to tell you what we need to do. We need to pray. We need to be praying on our knees. Or standing up, I don't care. God doesn't really care if you're on your knees, on your face, on your back. He cares that you're praying. Because his hand can move. That's why he said, the heart of the king is in the Lord's hand. And he turns it however he wants. However it needs to go. And we can sit back and we can think, well, you know, this doesn't matter, that doesn't matter. Everything matters. We're being right now, if you want to, they can say what they want to say. We are just being accustomed to a higher tax rate for gas. That's all it is. As soon as they mentioned that, gas prices went up 20 cents. The only thing I'm rejoicing in that is no front license plates. I didn't want to put one on my truck anyhow. But we're just being acclimatized to it. We're the frogs in the pot of boiling water. Pray. Greed's what drives it. Money drives it. Money drives abortion. If there wasn't money in abortion, you wouldn't see people fighting. You got to follow the money trail. Anything you want to find, follow the money trail, right? You want corruption? Follow the money trail. It'll take you right where you need to go. That's why we pray. That's why today we're going to pray. So if anybody else has any more prayer requests, get them up here. We're going to pray.